Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this beautiful August day. It's a beautiful day on the East Coast, and we are very excited to bring you a great segment today on the EEOC report and its impact on compliance training. I'd like to welcome back to the show our fastest growing company, what I think, in the Northern New Jersey area, Shift HR, and the two dynamic business owners that have founded it and run it, Catherine Nuck Freeman and Suzanne Serra. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Laura. We're happy to be here this morning.
Thank
you. It's great to have you guys. So we had this show because it was, I don't know how long ago, and you guys can bring our listeners up to speed, but the EEOC came up with a report on what content companies' compliance training should include. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, they issued the report in June of this year, June of 2016, so just 2 months ago.
Awesome. So tell us, you guys have been on the show a couple of times now, and it's one of our most popular segments when you guys are on, so we thank you for coming on again. What's new with Shift HR since our last episode? Anything new and exciting with you guys?
Well, you mentioned the report, Laura, and that's definitely one of the things that that we've been tracking, and that many of our prospects and our clients are really interested in, because they want to make sure that if they're going to the trouble to do the training within their organizations, that they're actually engaged in best practices and doing it as effectively as possible. So the EEOC report is definitely a big issue in our industry and with our company right now. And then another issue, which we're not going to talk about today, but for a future point we'll save it, is the Equality Index, and a number of, especially the largest companies throughout the country, are really trying to make sure that their training programs not only comply with the EEOC's task force and the recommendations set forth in there, but also that they're doing whatever they can to make sure they're achieving success in the Equality Index, which rates their success related to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individuals, and policies related to that in the workplace. So those are really some of the big areas that we're looking at right now.
Now, do you find that most businesses that you are already working about know about this, or are you the person that has to educate them on this? Like, do you guys have to go to them and tell them that this new task force has come out with these recommendations, or do you think it's top of mind from people already?
Good question.
Well, yeah, it is a good question. It's interesting because, since we live and breathe this is obviously very top of mind to us, and so we just assume that most of our clients were aware of it. But I think the challenge for all businesses is that there's just so much to keep track of on the compliance side, and they still need to run their business. So we really take it upon ourselves to make sure that everything that comes out that's key to our clients' businesses, especially from a compliance perspective, that we go out and proactively talk about it. So there's actually been quite a few clients that we've talked with about this who weren't aware of it. So we view it as our job to educate our clients, and it's one of the things that we do to try to add value to make sure that we're keeping everybody up to date on what's out there. And the report itself, it was over 50 pages long, and so it's not something that most business owners really have time to parse through.
Right.
So we've spent a lot of time reviewing it and analyzing it and trying to dissect it in a way that's manageable for our clients, and then talk about kind of the practical implications for them. So we really see that as our job.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Go ahead.
I just wanted to add, Laura, that Suzanne made a great point that we take it upon ourselves to add value there. And for those listeners who are interested, we actually are in the process of writing a summarizing article on this that's going to be very easy to read and implement for employers. And then we'll also be speaking at a webinar that's complimentary to our clients and friends of Shift. And we'd be happy to invite anybody who's interested in learning more about it to go to our website and sign up, and we'll put them on the circulation list for both the white papers and the webinar so they can get up to speed, as Suzanne suggests.
Yeah, the webinar is going to
be
offered
really
at the end of August.
Oh, good. That's good timing. So I work with a lot of business owners throughout the tri-state area, and I know that this often doesn't register like as one of the first things that they think about, but there's so much going on in the world, right, with the new transgender news pieces in the news? And, like, what would you think, what you just mentioned before about the practical implications of this report, what would you say the main things that a customer should be keep top of mind or be concerned about?
Well, the report itself, just as a quick background, it was the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission put together a select task force of 16 members, and they were people from all walks of the industry. So people in academia, lawyers from both sides of the aisle, employer and employee, employers, actual business owners, employee advocacy groups. And the whole point of the task force was to try to identify why it is that 30 years after the seminal U.S. Supreme Court case came out on sexual harassment, why the needle hasn't moved much. So what we have been most fascinated with about the report at Shift is that they made a bunch of recommendations with respect to anti-harassment training that are very, very consistent. I mean, almost identical to what we have been preaching to our clients for a very long time. So really some of the key takeaways is that they said that the training that's being offered is not necessarily engaging enough. It doesn't provide enough real-world examples of the kind of conduct that's permissible and impermissible. Oftentimes, it's just too much legal speak for employees. It's standards of liability and cases. And what the EEOC is saying is that you really need to take the information and convey it to your employees in a way that's industry-specific, using customized language that's going to resonate with them, and give them very specific examples so they can see in black and white what type of behavior is acceptable and what type of behavior is unacceptable. And it also talks about the frequency of training, that it really needs to be done. You know, at this point, before the task force issued this report, a lot of companies were only doing their training every couple of years. We've always been advocating at least every year, and the task force confirmed that as well. They're actually saying at least once a year, using a combination of online training, discussion groups, and live training, if that can be worked in as well. So for us, it was really great because it's validated the recommendations that we've been giving to our clients for a very long time, and it's just helpful for the people at the companies who are advocating training to be able to go to the business owners and say, this is what the EEOC says we need to be doing, and helping them get the resources they need to get the training done at their companies, making it more of a priority.
Mm-hmm. To Suzanne's point, it specifically says that training cannot stand alone but needs to be part of a holistic effort, whether it's, as Suzanne mentioned, a combination of online training, instructor-led training, that sort of thing. And really that's one of the things that we've really worked hard to do, to come up with as interactive an online training program as possible that's completely consistent with our instructor-led in-person training, so that companies don't engage in a one-and-done, but they may start with an instructor-led training and then do periodic follow-up with online, or they may do online training across the boards and then for trouble spot areas, then focus on the instructor-led training. And the EEOC's report definitely recommends that type of protocol.
So you guys offer both the cloud-based interactive training that the employees can do on their own, and like you just said, the instructor-led, and you feel that that is the most transformational on a company's culture when they incorporate both, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Incorporating both, definitely, and then also to reiterate Suzanne's point, incorporating real-life examples where managers get practice when they take the training, handling and responding to those issues. So literally, Laura, when we prepared this online training program, we had a brainstorming room of attorneys as subject matter experts, and we all jumped on the table. What are the issues we see managers dealing with related to harassment and discrimination in the workplace? What are the tricky areas? Where do they have a hard time trying to decide how they should respond and how should they act? And that was really the basis for our scenarios that play out in the online training. We take those sticky situations, those gray areas, we place them into the training, and then we create an exercise where the manager has to practice how would he or she respond to these scenarios, and then the course educates the manager in response to each step they take along the way. So both of those combined really result in a very interactive and effective training program that comports with the EEOC's recommendations.
So I'm taking away from this that you guys didn't have to do much changing to your curriculum or your solution or your offer to your clients once this report came out. Is that correct?
Yep.
The wonderful thing for us.
Yeah,
we were thrilled. It basically validated everything that we've been preaching about.
Yeah.
You know, all the things we've mentioned, as well as the fact that a lot of the training products on the market do not differentiate among classes of employees. So it's one size fits all training in terms of training supervisors and non-supervisory employees. And that's something that we've been strongly advocating against for years. And this EEO report confirms that the way that the training is most effective is you have to ensure that it's not a one-size-fits-all training, but that it's specifically tailored to your workforce, your workplace, and to the different levels of employees, and specifically training managers on the unique obligations and responsibilities that they have to identify problems and elevate them and make sure that they're remedied. So for us, it was a validation of everything that we have been preaching, and it really confirms that the content that we've put in our online training is exactly what the EEOC is saying is the most effective way to try to change behavior in the workplace, which is really our number one priority at Shift. We want to change behavior. Obviously, we want to provide legal protection, but we want to do training that's actually going to shift people's behavior.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with that more.
Yes, it seems like for decades, companies have been doing training, but it's been more of a CYA measure than really with the intent to be impactful and really create change in behavior within the workplace. And so the EEOC's report really highlighted how training, it just can't be for perfunctory. It really needs to be effective.
And I think every CEO's goal, at least the ones that I work with, engagement of the employees is one of their number one priorities. And this is a great path or a great foundation for that, in my opinion, because it takes away all the stuff that keeps people from being engaged and from working to their true potential and being just happy to come to work on Monday. I always think that's a good barometer, right? You want your peeps to come into work on Monday excited, not dreading the work week, right?
Right, right. That's so true. And it also has a result when you actually have a really great engaging training, it makes the job of the HR professionals administering the training so much easier, because so often –
sure.
HR professionals receive dreadful basis from the individuals who have to take the
right.
training, because it has, typical standard training has such a horrible reputation amongst employees and managers. But if you have a really good training, people are going to not only learn from it, but actually enjoy training and realize the value, and HR isn't going to get the slack that they typically get when you administer training that's really subpar.
Yeah, and one thing I would want to emphasize, sorry, Laura, just for smaller businesses is that, for smaller businesses that don't often make this a priority, I think, Laura, you raised another excellent point, which, again, this is obviously provides you some legal protection, but at its core, it's really about sending a message to your employees that you have a certain standard of conduct in your own workplace. And
right.
A, that's going to head off legal issues, but B, for every single employee who works for you, they're going to know that it's worthwhile to you as a company to take the time to educate your people about the kind of culture you want to have. And it just, in terms of a productivity perspective and a culture perspective, I don't think it can be overstated how important it is. So I think that that's just really another key reason to try to make training a priority for even for the small and mid-sized companies.
That great point.
I couldn't agree more. And every time you turn on the news lately, I mean, it is an uncomfortable world out there. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but I think you guys know what I'm saying. And I think anything you could do to make the internal part of the company a safe place where people respect each other and are engaged and feel like, they're going to be treated with respect and without bias, I think is just critical for a company's strategic plan moving forward. And speaking of bias, I know we already have done an episode on this, but I read something last week about the Olympic coverage and how
mm-hmm.
some people felt that the female athletes, did you guys read that? The female athletes are being reported differently. And so it is out there. I know you guys do a lot with unconscious bias, and I think that's very forward leaning. But it's all around us, right? Wouldn't you guys agree that you don't realize it, but it's there?
Oh, it's everywhere, whether it's in the Olympics, whether it's with respect to the upcoming, you know, political campaigns and elections, whether it's with respect to business leaders. It's really everywhere. And it's actually interesting that the media really hasn't been enlightened to this yet either. I mean, they may be a perfect target market for our training product, right? Especially on our bias, to really raise the awareness of the media who's reporting all the quote-unquote hats to really the world. So
Actually, for me, it was very reassuring and promising that the media was being called to task for the way they were reporting on the Olympics, because it shows that collectively as a society, our awareness is getting raised, and I think talking about things like this are really critical, because when you point it out to people, they have this aha moment. And, you know, I don't think 10 years ago anybody would have been calling the media to task for talking about how female athletes are dressed or how they look or how their bodies are shaped. And so I think it's a great step in the positive direction, and I think it's a great idea for companies to try to capitalize on that. And that's something we try to do in our training, is we pull in these real-world examples so people understand how this applies to them, you know, in the workplace as well.
You guys are doing very important work. I really do sincerely feel that. And you guys are doing a great job. So I want to thank you guys once again for coming on to our radio show. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to say that you want to close with before we wrap it up?
I just reiterate, go to www.shiftelt.com if you'd like to receive the white papers we reference or be a part of our complimentary webinars. And otherwise, be on the lookout for the next discussion on transgender issues in the workplace. We look forward to continuing the discussion. So thanks so much, Laura.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you both.
Thanks,
Laura.
Have a great day.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Great. Bye-bye.